Charlotte Benham interviewing Hank Gregory for Oral History Project at St. Catherine College. Today is October 20th, 1985. Hank Gregory is a graduate of Washington County High School and a graduate of University of Kentucky with a bachelor's degree in agriculture. The first question I'd like to ask you is when and where were you born?
I was born in 1953 at the Mary Immaculate Hospital in Lebanon.
Okay. Why did you decide to farm?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and it's what I'd always been around and associated with, and it's sort of the opportunity, and it's kind of a logical and natural step, I guess, to continue on with it.
Did you like participate in Future Farmers of American High School and things
well,
like that?
Well, no, I didn't. Perhaps I might have been better off if I had, but I didn't do any of that, those things.
Were your college classes real life situations or more of classroom activities?
Well, mostly classroom activities. They would, some of them would have what they would call labs, where you would maybe have some, go out in the field and do all various things. But it was really pretty much a classroom type situation. The kind of programs that I had was kind of a general, what they called a production agriculture degree, which was a little bit of everything as opposed to a specific degree in agronomy or animal science or something. It was kind of a little bit of everything. Hopefully give you a little bit wider background to use on the farm. Now, whether that was the best way to go or not, I don't know, but it seemed like that might be the best way to get a wide range of information.
It seemed like a good step. It definitely helped you with your farming now, I would say, hasn't it?
Well, that's hard to say. I hope it has anyway, yeah.
When did you begin farming? Was it in Washington County?
Yeah, I began farming full-time after I graduated from UK in 1975, and that was here in Washington County with my father.
How far back does your family go with farming?
Well, as far back as we've owned this particular farm, which was in 1881, I think, and we've farmed it ever since then. I'm not sure how far back before that in farming we went. I'm not sure. At least 100 years, I guess.
Did you begin farming alone, or did you and your father farm together?
Well, as I said, I began farming with my father here, and so I didn't have to try to go it alone, which would have been a lot tougher, I'm sure.
It's been hard to buy a farm, just out of college and still paying college and things like that.
It'd be almost impossible.
Does each member of the family have specific jobs, or do you just get the job done? Or?
No, we don't really have that specific division of labor. I mean, there's only my father and me and Junior Benham who works for us. And since there's just three of us, we just do whatever happens to need to be done. That's what we do that day. We all pretty much do any given job as it needs to be done. So there's no specific division of this one person does this and the other does that. Like you might have a bigger operation.
Describe a typical day.
Well, I don't think there is any such thing as a typical day because you might do, like you might plow in the spring for two or three days, and that might be typical then, but a week later you might be doing something else, might be sowing a tobacco bed one day, you might be doing something else entirely different the next day. That's one of the advantages of the job, I guess, that you never get stuck doing the same thing more than a few days at a time. Every day is a little different, and you don't get stuck in any one routine more than a few days at a time.
So there's a lot of diversity.
Yeah. You know, keeps you from getting too tired of any one job, really. Oh, yeah, that's true. You do have, maybe the one thing that is typical is every day you do have to see how the hogs, since we also have hogs besides beef cattle, you have to feed them every day and do whatever needs doing with them. In the winter, when we're feeding hay, you would have to put hay out to the cows. That maybe would be the one continual thing that you have to worry about is checking on the stock. But as far as the other work, it's constantly changing.
It's almost a 24-hour day sometimes, I would say.
It could be. There's always something that you have to leave undone. You just have to kind of get used to the fact you're not always going to get everything done. If you let that bother you too much, it drives you up the wall.
What was your farming like in the beginning?
Well, in the beginning for me, it was pretty much like it is now, which is the beef cow as well as, actually in our case, hogs are our biggest operation, or the biggest portion of our operation. And always, of course, tobacco is another big part of it. So that hasn't changed too much from me in the few years that I've been full-time, actively involved on a full-time basis. So
it's basically the same as what it was
for me anyway in the last 10 years.
What problems did you encounter when you first started farming?
Well, it's just maybe getting to do the things, even though I've been involved all along before, it's on a part-time, as I had the time basis when I was in school and growing up. When you get involved on a full-time basis, there are more things that you have to learn the details of, and specific jobs maybe I hadn't done before, hadn't had to play quite as big a role in before. You do a little more, and you have to learn a few more little details of specific jobs that maybe I hadn't always done or hadn't picked up along the way. And it's just a matter of learning more about how to manage things where you get the jobs done that most need to be done, and realizing that you can't get everything done, but just have to sort of learn the priorities of what most needs to be done and try to get that done and just get the most done you can.
So there's a lot of priorities and planning.
Well, sure. The more the better, because you don't plan things. Just try to look ahead and foresee the problems and plan things out so that you can be operating in the most efficient manner. You get even less done than you might otherwise. And the people that are really good at farming, like any other job, I think are the ones that know how to do that, how to organize their days and how to look ahead and plan and foresee some of the problems. Of course, you can't foresee a lot of things. You can't foresee bad weather or things breaking down, all those sorts of things you can't. But if you do a good job of maintenance, for instance, on machinery and think ahead enough, you can foresee quite a few things and solve and save yourself quite a bit of trouble and aggravation and frustration.
Does government policies affect your operation?
Well, I think most of the impact that they have is indirect as opposed to maybe being a direct, since we don't really haven't participated directly in things like support prices for corn, or like dairy farmers are, I guess, have a very specific program for the price supports of milk, and we're not into that. And we haven't really participated in programs where you lay aside certain corn acres and get a support price on that. So it hasn't really affected us directly in that respect. It's more of an indirect effect of how, since there are these big programs that affects the price of corn nationwide or worldwide even, so that has some effect on what the corn price would be if we were buying or selling any, which we don't usually do very much of. And just the price of corn has a big impact on what the supply of cattle and hogs are, because if there's cheap corn, people are probably going to try to raise more livestock, which will probably eventually drive down the price of the livestock with the increased supply. So the government policies certainly do have a big impact, but it's kind of indirect, and it's a little hard sometimes to see or to feel it, but you know it's there.
Has there been one important government policy that stands out in your mind above the others that has affected it?
Well, since we are tobacco farmers here, I guess the kind of ongoing question marks about every year there's a question of how much the tobacco program is going to be changed, or if it's even going to be continued. So that's a continuing problem. Right now we don't even know if the program is going to be around next year. It probably will, and it seems like a pretty safe assumption, but it's not a certainty. And over the long haul, it's a very big question mark whether it'll be around.
So I'd like to say a lot of farmers depend on the tobacco to help with the other means of farming.
In central Kentucky, that's certainly true, I think, that it's a kind of a reliable source of income. That you don't know for sure whether the livestock, the cattle, or even hogs, other things, and dairy, for instance, I guess, is fairly reliable, but the tobacco's probably been the most reliable in this part of the country. As far as, I guess most people would point out that the grain embargo a few years ago has having been a government policy, which had a real big impact on most people, because by cutting our overseas sales somewhat, it caused a buildup, more of a buildup of corn, that drove down the prices and had a big impact on the cattle market as well.
So imports do have a big impact on
the
American farmers.
Oh, very much so. I don't know what the percentage is, but I know it's a big factor in what the price of grain is and how much we sell abroad, because there have been a number of years where a big percentage of the domestic production, or maybe not a big percentage, but a significant percentage has been sold overseas, and of corn, wheat, and other grains, and it has had a very big impact on what the market is. Anything the government does to affect that has a big impact, finally down to the individual level.
Has your farm grown up much over the years, or has it basically remained the same?
Well, in our case, it has remained the same. We haven't made any expansion in time that I've been involved, or even quite a while before that. We've just gone with what we had.
Has your problems changed very much from what they were when you started to what they are now?
Well, since I've only been actively involved about 10 years, full-time involved 10 years, problems haven't changed too much for me. It's still kind of like I said before, a matter of managing and going about the work in the best, most efficient way to get the most done, and being well informed enough to make the best decisions, as opposed to what type of corn to plant or what herbicides to use or things like that, when specifically to do things and how to go about doing them. Just the overall management problems of organization and planning and those sorts of things like I mentioned before.
What factors make you decide what kind of cattle to raise?
Well, with me and with us, I guess it's been kind of just a continuation of what we had. And I haven't been the person making those specific decisions, or at least entirely making them, as far as maybe whether we would go to an Angus bull as opposed to a Charolais, which we used to have, or partly a matter of what maybe has been locally available and what we felt comfortable with or knew a little bit more about. And
I don't know much about cattle, that's why, sort of like to know why do you choose one over the other?
There are certain differences, but I guess that's been more Dad's decision, at least up to this point, than mine, because he knows a lot more about it, and I've realized that, and I'm more than willing for him to maybe make the main decision in that respect. Well, the changes hogs are kind of somewhat similar in that we do make periodic changes, but I guess that's mostly to introduce hybrid varieties into the, like we would change a boar every 2 or 3 years, just so you constantly keep crossbreeding, and that way it's at least theoretically, I guess you're supposed to have a little better herd that way. If you don't keep inbreeding, you would eventually lose some advantages, and you probably wouldn't do as well over the long run. But by constantly crossbreeding, that's supposed to give you better gain and all variety of advantages, and all sorts of things like that.
What improvements have you made in the feeding and practice, health practices?
Well, maybe I don't think there's been a whole lot of changes in the last 10 years as far as cattle go. Probably the biggest change in feeding would be the gradual sort of getting into roll bales, which are much of a saving in labor from feeding the old square bales. We still mostly use the smaller square bales, but we have gradually started using more of the roll bells, and I think it's almost certain that in the coming years we'll be doing that more, mostly because of the labor saving, both in feeding them and when you're harvesting, how you save labor and can get it done quicker. Now, of course, also the hog feeding, we have made some changes in that. When I first started, we fed straight ear corn to the hogs, and then they would eat it off the ear, and we'd have to clean up the cobs, and we fed supplement separately. And then 6 years ago, we bought a mill. So now when we did that, we started shelling and grinding and mixing all of our own feed. So that way we can better control and be more specific in exactly what we give the hogs at each level of their development, give them more what they need and more a better designed diet for what they need at that particular stage of development, and hopefully be more efficient. And also, it's a labor saving too, actually, by doing it that way. And we've been able to make some other changes, but like going to farrowing in crates, since we've got the ground, which we couldn't do without the ground feed. And as far as the health changes, I don't guess there's been too many health changes with the cattle. We've always had some of the vaccinations and things that we still would use. I guess there's probably been some improved medications in terms of antibiotics and things. I'm not as up to date on that as I should be. I guess the last 2 or 3 years we've started using the fly tags for ear tags for fly control on the cattle, which helps, or at least hopefully helps do a little better job with that.
So you have made a few changes, even though it isn't that drastic, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Do you think farming has changed very much, or like I said, has it stayed the same?
Well, I think maybe it hasn't changed a whole lot in the say 10 years that I've been involved on a full-time basis. Probably the biggest changes have been in terms of overall economic conditions, like the fact that interest rates and inflation interest rates are still pretty high, but inflation was so very much of a factor, say, 5 or 6, 8 years ago, and interest rates were even higher. And people who assumed that was going to continue on indefinitely and planned on those borrowing a lot of money because inflation was always at a high rate and money was worth less next year than this year, people who sort of planned on that and then found that didn't happen are getting hurt now as land price, because land prices have gone down and the equity in this land is a lot less than it was. And of course we hear every day stories about farmers, maybe particularly in the Midwest, but everywhere, even around here, who have not able to make all their payments and end up going out of business.
Do you think it's possible for small farmers to successfully compete against large ones? In what ways could they utilize their smallness, or if that's the correct word? Have they got advantages over the large ones?
I think they probably can compete. It depends a lot on their individual situations, I think, particularly whether they've had to borrow maybe a lot of money to get started or that sort of thing in particular. But if they are careful and if they're good managers, I think it's probably the most important thing. If you know what needs to be done, if you get the most efficiency out of what you have. And once again, I guess management, I think, is probably the key word. It helps to have a little good fortune in there, too.
What do you see in the future for beef cattle farmers?
Well, I don't know enough to make much of a prediction, but I probably will be just more of the same. I don't know if anybody will ever figure out any way to, not only with cow, but other commodities, to alleviate the fluctuations from year to year in prices. And that's, I guess, the basic problem, is because 1 year you get a lot more than maybe a 50% or a 30% change from 1 year to the next in what you get for what you sell, and it makes it very difficult when every year you probably have a steady or increasing amount that you have to pay for your fertilizers and things like that, the products that you have to buy. So I guess it's going to continue to be a struggle, I guess is what I'm saying.
Many farmers have went out of business. Do you think the lack of planning and organizing and managing are contributing factors to that? Or do you think it's something else causing it?
Well, I'm sure that in some percentage of cases it's because of poor management and maybe overextending yourself on a credit standpoint. Some of that, I mean, in a way that sounds a little callous because, and you hate to hear of somebody who's had to leave farming that really wants to continue. Some people are just victims of really of circumstance too, of low prices that they can't do anything about. I guess unfortunately it is true to a certain extent that farming, like other businesses, is such that not everybody is going to make it. Not everybody that tries to run a restaurant is going to make it, like we see here in Springfield. Some of them just don't make it. It's kind of, it's unfortunate. And you, I guess you have to make, you know, policy decisions on a governmental level about whether you want to try to help maintain as many smaller farmers, if you think that's beneficial for the country from a sociological standpoint, if you will, and that sort of thing. Hopefully it'll all, we can maintain a lot of them, or at least.
What advice would you give to someone considering beef cattle farming as a career? Would you encourage them or discourage them, or what would you think?
I'd be very hesitant to do either one. I guess you have to be, as my dad says, you have to be cautious. I guess the best you can do is try to inform yourself as much as possible. Talk to somebody maybe like my father that has been involved a long time and would know a lot of the problems, would know what it takes. Just educating yourself and trying to inform yourself as much of the problems and the potential situations that you're going to have to face is probably the most you can do. And realizing it's going to be kind of a long-term situation. You're not going to, you know, it's not going to be something you probably get into and unless you're very lucky, strike it rich overnight or anything like that. But it's just like everything else, I guess, it's a struggle to get started.
Has farming satisfied your expectations that you had of it?
Oh, I guess more or less. It's hard for me to look back 10 or 15 years ago and say what my expectations were. But as far as knowing that you're going to be your own boss and you're doing different things all the time and those sorts of things, I guess it pretty much has.
Well, I would like to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to help us with this oral history project, and I wish you good luck and your fun.
Hope I can be of help.